Today's class is going to be a conversation about 1 Corinthians 12. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit in in the last few weeks. And we're going to be continuing to do that, talking about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But before we do this, if y'all could move forward so that you can hear each other talk, I would appreciate it. Maybe the first four or five rows would be enough. Then we can all hear the conversation and participate in it. So, thank you for your cooperation. There's no scary people here. We'll be fine up front. All right, so before we begin, let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your grace. We're grateful for the great lengths you went to reconcile us to yourself. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, you've given us the church, you've given us the fellowship. And Father, we pray that you be with us as we use those things today to build one another up, to understand you better, to understand our lives in your Son. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So basically, chapter 12 through 14, really even beginning before that, 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the church about, the Holy Spirit. The Corinthian church had some confused ideas and priorities, and they were chasing after the wrong things. But he wants to clarify what the Holy Spirit is there for, the purpose, the goals, the things that Holy Spirit should be accomplishing in people's lives. So we'll begin, and so that's what chapter 12 is doing. Starting in verse 1, he says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Presumably, some of them he felt were ignorant. "I don't want you to be, what do we know about the Holy Spirit? Do we feel like we've got a good solid handle on that? Or are we somewhat ignorant about what the Holy Spirit's all about?" He said, "I do not want you to be ignorant." Verse 2. "You know that when we were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Okay, let's stop there for a minute. Basically, he's talking about, that when you were pagans, in other words, before you were enlightened by the Word of God and became Christians, you had some mixed up ideas. And so even now, some of that needs to be straightened out, right? Have we ever seen any of that in our own lives, right? What's an example of something that you had, that were you confused about, that after you became a Christian, it started making more sense? You understood that you had been confused before. Any thoughts about that? Well, any subject. Okay, yeah. And those are some of the kinds of things that the same nature of things that that he's talking about here. So, yeah, confused ideas about the Holy Spirit. What else?
I think about, just teachings about conversion, what's the process, what's involved, in really deciding to be a
sure.
Christian. We have 2,000 years of history.
Yeah. What does it mean to become a Christian and the process and what do you need to be understanding when you do that? Okay, Jason. Okay. All right. So just, again, a misunderstanding of the process of conversion, right? Okay. Praying Jesus in your heart. Bill.
Well, in that same light, for me, I was confused about baptism, and that I had friends who went to the Church of Christ, and they were saying, you got to get baptized. But I didn't see the connection between their life and baptism. Live in a certain way than represent, well, what does this baptism mean if you live this way?
Right. So there's something more involved in conversion than just getting wet, right?
Right.
Okay. Sherry?
And along that same line,
is belief. You know, that's kind of what I thought. Okay, if you believe in God or believe in Jesus, then you're A-okay.
Okay.
It's more than just believing. It's doing what he says.
Okay. And we could go on and on. I'm sure we were confused about a lot of things. Being confused, as Jerry says, about, you know, what does it mean to believe? You know, whoever believes will be saved, but what does that mean? And so confusion about that. And there's just, so what he's saying here to the Corinthian church is that, you know, you guys were really confused. You were worshiping idols. You were worshiping a piece of wood, a piece of metal, you know, an art object that some person created as though it were a god or something. So we were confused about some things. Okay, maybe not that, maybe something else. But here he's trying to clarify that. He says, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. Okay? So I think that should be pretty obvious to us, right? The Holy Spirit would not lead us to say that Jesus is cursed. But you know, what does he mean when he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit? I mean, those words could be, does it mean that we cannot utter those words? What does he mean when he says this? It can't be true. Okay. What do you mean? Give me some more words about that.
If you don't have the Spirit, it's not enabling you to repent of the sin in your life. Jesus can't actually be Lord of your life.
Okay. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus cannot be Lord. Okay. I think that's kind of the bottom line. You can't live that out. You know, you can't honestly, it's kind of like, you can't say that you're the king of America, right? I could say the words, but I don't have the right to say that, do I? Right? So anyway, however you want to look at that, basically, Jesus can't be your Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he goes on, starting in verse 4, let's read further. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Okay? Thoughts about that? So all the Corinthians were chasing after the same, you know, they wanted to do the showy gifts, right? Like speaking in tongues, for example. They wanted to do that. What he's saying here, what is this? Scripture have to, or these verses, what does this have to say about that? Peter.
Well, having those different skills, different gifts, not only is okay, in fact, it's absolutely necessary.
Right. Okay. Dan? So, and God gives us those gifts, right? So the gifts that God gives us, he doesn't give us all the same gift, does he? You know, it may come as a big surprise to you, but I am not much of a basketball player. Never was. I'm even less now. There's certain things I'm not that guy, okay? But there's certain things that God gave me the ability to do, and I try to use those to serve God, right? And I'm sure you have something that God has given to you. Have you figured out what that is? What is it that God has blessed you with so that you can bless his church? Okay. So it says there's different kinds. So you don't have to have the same one I have or the same one that, you know, Peter has or that anybody else in here has. You can have your own. It could be what God gave you. You know, but figure out how can I use me the way God made me to serve him, and the way God empowers me through his Spirit. Okay? So different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but it's the same God. God's the source of all of that, right? Okay, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what purpose? For the common good. The gifts I'm given, are they given to me to make me feel better about myself? You know, let's suppose I have a beautiful singing voice. Is it somehow I am, you know, I want to find an opportunity to sing so that I can feel good about myself? Is that the reason for it? It's to do what? For the common good, for the good of the congregation, of the church. So let's say I have the skill of, I don't know, I'll just think of something. Suppose I have the skill of wiggling my ears. I don't know if y'all can see this. I can move my hair. You know, I don't put that on my resume because nobody's looking for that skill, right? My grandchildren love it. Yeah, that's true. My grandchildren love it. But that skill is not marketable. Okay? Now, in the church, what if I felt like, okay, I'm supposed to wiggle my ears for the benefit of the church? I mean, maybe I just did. I don't know. It's kind of a useless skill. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Or maybe I'm really good at, something that my boss at work likes me to do. I'm good at that, okay? And so maybe, yeah, okay, I can use that so I can earn a living, so then I can help people in the church. But directly, that skill may not benefit the church, okay? I don't know what your skills are, but the point is that what we do in the church is intended to benefit the church. And if the thing you're trying to do is not for your benefit, you hear a lot of talk about, you know, I have a skill and I need to use it. I want to use it because, you know, there's a lot of me involved in that wanting to, right? That's not what it's there for. That's not what our skills are given to us for. They're given to us to bless others. And we turn inward and we start thinking of me, and we start feeling like I'm somehow being offended because I'm not using my gift, then we're completely mixed up about what the gifts are for. Okay, so they're for the common good. Okay, that was verse 7. Verse 8. To the one is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these work are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Okay? So, an assortment of gifts talked about here, some of which have passed away. We could look at that if we had time. But some of which are still available. Okay, but he's basically talking about all these different kinds of gifts, and it's including the ones that the Corinthians were all aspiring. They wanted to speak in tongues. That was kind of their main thing they wanted. And yet he's saying, you know, God decides who gets that, right? Not everybody gets that. There's religious groups in Gwinnett County today that think you're not really a real Christian unless you speak in tongues. Well, according to this, even in the first century, not everyone spoke in tongues, right? There was no benefit to the church for that, right? In fact, in chapter 14, if we continued on and went to chapter 14, he says, you know, what good is it if I speak in a tongue but nobody understands what I said? You know, it's done nobody any good. That's not the kind of things we do in the church. We do things that benefit the church. So they were just completely confused about that. But there's a variety of gifts. Okay, you could add others to the list, right? I mentioned singing or music. You know, we worship in song, so people who can do that well and who can lead that, or who can be a part of the group that leads the congregation in that, that's a way of using a gift to benefit the church. If you don't have that gift, you know, if you have a different gift, find out which one you have. You know. I saw an announcement, I think it went out, about the Christmas program wanting to have auditions for singing in the Christmas program, right? Did y'all see that? Did everybody here get your emails and see your... Okay, so anyway, the point being that we're trying to find out who has that gift, all right? And if it's not your gift, don't feel offended. God gave you a different gift, okay? Find out what that is. But basically, there's a variety of gifts. And they are all the work of the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. for the benefit of who?
The church.
Okay, thank you. So, verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Okay, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. So, even though we have all these different gifts, we have, you know, we're different people, we all have differences. There's no two of us that are identical. And yet, we all make up one body. He's going to go on talking about the body and the different parts of the body. Let's just go into that. Verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Okay, so as it is, there are many parts, but one body. All right, so which part of the body are you? That's a rhetorical question, but think about it for a minute. Which part of the body are you? The body of Christ, you know, maybe you're the ear, but you're not doing your hearing for the church. Maybe you're, you know, whatever, you're an eye. Maybe you're, you know, what part of the eye, body are you in the church? Maybe, you know, the body is missing something because you're not filling that role that you were created to fill. Every part, if you're a Christian, if you're a member of the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett, you have a role to do. Have you found what that role is? You know, this is your church. You're part of this body. This, you know, it's not like them. It's me. I am part of this body. I belong to this body. I am just as much a part of my body of this congregation as my hand is a part of my body. All right. I have things I'm supposed to be doing for the church. Right. And how about you? Do you have things if you were to start a list right now, what are the things that I should be doing that the church depends on me for? What are the things the church depends on me for? And am I fulfilling that? Okay. We all have a role. That's kind of the point here. And no role is more important than the other. Okay. That's another misconception we have. You know, just because today Alan is standing up in front of the congregation talking, I'm reading Scripture. We're talking about Scripture. We're thinking about Scripture. It's not rocket science, you know, but there's wisdom involved. But this is something that we're trying, you know, it doesn't make me any better than anybody else in here, any bigger, any more important. It just means that this is my role. And it's like Paul said when, you know, he said, you know, God sent me to preach the gospel. He said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Okay, what is your role? And is it true that, you know, woe to you if you do not fill that role? Okay, think about that. But Paul, of course, did it willingly, did it eagerly. In fact, he said, I want to serve for free. Because even though I'm entitled to be paid for this, I want to do it for free because I want to go beyond what is required. Dave, are you going beyond what's required? Bill. Yep.
But it begins with an attitude and a love for the body of Christ.
That's right. That's right. And it all begins with you fall in love with Jesus, right? You decide that Jesus died on a cross for me. He's pretty awesome. He loves me. He's also magnificently powerful. He, through him, everything in the universe that was made through him. It's amazing that he cares about me. He loves me. He's perfectly righteous, and I am obviously not. Okay, so you start thinking about that, you love Jesus, and so now it's like, okay, how can I serve him? That's the natural response. Okay, if you hadn't gotten to that part yet, you need to work on that first part. You know, getting the part where you love Jesus, you appreciate what he did for you, and then you want to do something for him. But that's right. And so all the parts are important to the body. That's what he's trying to say here. What are some things that need to be done that maybe haven't been being done in the church here? Can anybody think of anything? Check.
The children's ministry.
Children's ministry. Okay, you ever hear anybody announce saying we need teachers? Or we need substitutes? Or we need...
Singers
in the band. Singers in the band. Okay. So again, are you sitting back there singing like a canary in the congregation, but not coming up to help the singers? They need singers. Okay. So again, they're looking at if that's your gift, you know, which you kind of know that. Ask, you know, the people that sit next to you at church know that. So ask them, you know. But yeah, we need some. So find out if that's your gift. Okay, what else? Something that where maybe we need more people doing it. Joe's got ideas here. The what? Sound crew. How about setting up, taking down, running the booth, and just making sure everything works in service. You know, I show up here, somebody puts a microphone on me, and I walk up and start talking, and everything just works. You know. I don't know exactly what all they've got back there. I know they've got some pretty cool stuff. They got some pretty cool stuff up here. Sometimes they've even got more stuff up here. But anyway, so the point is, sound crew. Peter.
So I'll make a broad category, ushering and all the related pieces, yeah. Helping people get in, helping yes. people park, helping people know where to sit, yep. serving communion, but all those pieces mm-hmm. that have to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, ushering, greeting. You know, parking, Mark Vogt shows up here every Sunday morning and puts the cones out so there's parking places for people that are handicapped, you know, and he goes out there and picks them up at the end, and when there's one missing, he goes out and gets more, you know, and, you know, nobody told him to do that. He just said, this is something that needs to be done. I'm going to go do it. So thank you, Mark.
Yes,
okay. Yeah, Grub.
Yeah,
we're kind of lean on the elder department right now. You know, anybody can become qualified. You know where the scriptures are on that. We could use some. Bill?
Well, I'm going to stick outside of the building and ask our worship. We need people to serve in other ways, like helping our widows, help single moms with homes, and need help with things and repairing or whatever. So just serving.
Okay, serving the needy in our congregation and in our community, right? You know, so we need, you know, you got a heart for that, you know, God's given you that gift, and let's go, you know, and bring some people along with you. Okay, Jennifer.
I know that there are people who are not able to come to church sometimes, and I think just somebody taking care of them, taking the communion, just doing a little something, a little tiny devotional. Mm-hmm.
You know, taking communion to people who can't attend church, or going and visiting them and having a little church service, a communion or a discussion with them, or a Bible study. Yeah, serving the people that can't be here. Okay, Darius.
A campus minister.
Yes, we are. We've got a campus ministry, but no staff campus minister. So yes, we need somebody who's able to do that. Website. Yeah, our website needs some more man hours on it. You know, if you have the skills and the time to help with that, that's a role. So, you know, we have no trouble coming up with a list, right? That's what we've just demonstrated. And we can add more. There's more things. We can add a lot more to that. One of the things we need is some younger family group leaders. We've got a lot of family group leaders who are not in that category. sometimes, you know, the older you get, the more life happens to you, you know, health, family members, you know, we got people with all kinds of different challenges. They're still trying to help to serve the church leading, and that's awesome. I love that they want to do that.
but they need some help. We need to find some young people, and who, you know, one of these days those people are going to be gone, you know, and then where are you going to? Who's going to lead these families? We need to. We need more younger leaders rising up in the service of the family groups, for example. So, if you're in that category, you know, figure out what do I need to do to become ready to do that. Yes, Becky. Okay. So everything that we do, you need, you know, like substitute, backup, you know, assistant, you know, apprentice leaders. We need young leaders. We need new leaders, more leaders. Where's your, you know, think about what could I do? Just let your imagination run. What could I do for God in the church? And that's what this is all about. So thank you. I'm going to try to move on a little bit. Just because the thought keeps crossing my mind, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and see how this is supposed to work. Ephesians chapter 4. I just threw a curve to the booth, but they're right with us. Okay. And we're going to start in verse 11. Basically talking about, you know, how is the church supposed to work? How is it supposed to, you know, what does that have to do with me? What is my part in that? Starting in verse 11, it says, it was he who gave, that was Christ, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay? So you've got some well-known church leader roles there, right? And what are they there for? To prepare who? And that includes all of God's people, right? Every member of the church needs to be prepared for works of service. And why do they need to be prepared for works of service? So the body can be built up, okay? So this is how it happens. It's not just the leaders have to make everybody do the right thing or get everybody to do the right thing. It's to build up the members so the members will build up the body, okay? You have a role in making this a great church. You have a role in helping the Christians in this church to grow and to thrive and to be spiritual and to have a great relationship with God, to overcome their obstacles. There's a lot of obstacles, aren't there? You know anybody that's got any obstacles in the congregation? Anybody who's struggling or needs help? Maybe you could help. You know, maybe you could be one of those people that helps. You know, we need to build up the body so that they can do those things. And we're working on that. You know, prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Is that possible? Are we there yet? He wants us to all reach what? Number one, unity in the faith. Unity in the faith. What does that mean? We're like-minded. We're all one heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving God, believing that He can do everything He promised. We have great faith. And we don't worry about whether it's going to turn out bad or not. We're just going to do what He wants us to do. Right? That's faith. So we all have unity in faith. That means we all have that. And in the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay? We all know a little bit about the Son of God. I think He's talking about a higher level of that, isn't He? Okay? We all reach unity in our knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So would you consider yourself, this is not talking about how old you are. It's talking about how complete you are.
Do you see yourself as being a complete Christian, a mature Christian? You've got everything going on that needs to be going on in your life as a Christian? Do you think you know somebody who's not quite there yet, other than yourself? You know, we can help each other get there, can't we? That's what this is for. That's how the church is supposed to work. Okay? The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay? The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That we've got everything Christ has to offer. Right? Then we no longer will be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. So we won't be confused. We're getting ready to have a class series starting next week where we're going to be talking about the Reformation and the confusion that came out of that and trying to unravel the confusion of the Reformation, right? We're going to be spending, you know, this fall talking about that. Myself and several other brothers. And basically, that's what one of the things we're trying to accomplish is right there. We're trying to get rid of the people being tossed back and forth by different teachings that we've heard. Again, we come from a lot of different religious backgrounds. We'll say a lot more about that next week. But it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay, there's the part. Each part does its work. That's how it happens. We talked about in 1 Corinthians about the different gifts. You've got one. And until you figure it out, until you start using it, we don't have each part doing its work. And that's keeping us from getting to all these good things we just read about. So we need you. So let this be just a call to action that we're going to find a way to engage in serving God in the congregation. Thank you, and it's time to go get your children from the Bible class.